Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Ellie Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily. Just some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, apart from our usual chat, you'll get an insight into what goes on at the Japanese sports day.
Yep.
Andy went to one the other day. There's a reason for that, as he'll explain. Kevin Day joined us in the studio, didn't he?
He was good for me. He's very, very anti-VAR, but I can back it up with some interesting
ideas. We'll talk a bit of women's football chat after all the fallout from the Cameroon-England game yesterday. And Don't Ask Me was... it was a nail-biter today, as you'll hear. So, here we go.
Incredible reaction to the England-Cameroon game yesterday. It's almost in a sort of a kind of an overreaction.
Yeah.
You know, I just think, you know, this has happened before in football, with teams not taking, understanding refereeing decisions or anything like that. I mean, Cameroon's behaviour was petulant. It was immature. It was stupid, really. And the coach didn't help. He was sort of slightly ridiculous. He was blaming the referee. He said the referee wanted England to win, which was ridiculous. And I thought the Lionesses did well to keep their cool in the face of some, you know, provocative... The elbow was a red card, wasn't it?
Yeah, it certainly was.
You know, but you can't,
I'm not sure about
you can't be
Bob Carroll G's moment. It may have been an accidental
that
Carroll
was inadvertent. That wasn't. Yeah. She made no move to spit. She just happened to... She was going like that and he came out. I didn't think that was a spit.
Do you often do that, Andy, when you're remonstrating? Do you often find yourself...
I have unexpectedly expectorated.
Nobody expected you to expectorate, did they, really?
I have done it. We've all done it, haven't we?
Not really. No, Bob Carroll G's has done it, but that's the act.
I didn't think he was different.
So you're at a game, you're watching Chelsea, you think there's a foul, you go, come on.
No, we're not like
that. The lads who sit in front of you.
Sometimes when a sneeze that happens. But
yeah, but that's different, isn't it? She didn't sneeze on her arm, did she?
She didn't spit in her arm. I don't think she did.
Okay.
But who knows? Only she knows.
I'll keep it out of your way next time you're remonstrating with a producer about
it. I did think it was one moment in the game when I think her name was Inouye and she shot and fell over. It was really quite amusing. I thought it'd be quite good for the Women's Own Goals and Gaffes DVD.
Who's going to present that?
Well, it's got to be, it'd have to be an all women presenting and writing producing team, I think.
Yeah.
With a token bloke, somebody with a bit of a in touch with their feminine side, like Max Rushton.
Oh, that's a nice idea, yeah.
But I think there's a whole market for this now, you know.
What's that?
The Own Goals and Gaffes women's, you know, the sort of women's amusing women's football DVD.
Have we reached that stage where it's happy to laugh at itself or not?
Well, I think so, yeah.
It depends where you come from, whether it's women watching it and saying, this is our game, these are the moments that go wrong, or whether it's blokes watching it saying, isn't this terrible?
That's what I just
said. So you're laughing at it or you're laughing with it?
That's exactly why.
08717.
No, we were talking about this last week, and I was talking to my daughter, and it was a big proponent of women's football.
Yeah.
And I was saying to her the thing about, I said, the trouble when I watch a game and I see stuff, I often can't say it because it would feel wrong. And she said, well, it would be different if a woman was doing it. I thought to myself, well, that's actually true.
Yeah.
You know, because it's easier to take the mickey out of your own than it is for somebody else. Otherwise, it would look like you having a sort of sexist bash at it. Or, so I think that's the way forward.
On the football front, I was able to watch about the last 20 minutes of Norway, Australia and the extra time. And blimey, they're good. I mean, based on what I've seen of England so far... They're better than us.
I don't think anybody thinks England are the best team in the tournament.
But, you know, I mean, how often have we seen sort of teams like Italy sort of limped through a men's tournament, not playing particularly well. Even Italia 90. Mm. We didn't really play well in Italia 90 to the semi-final. So we have to work on the basis that they've got another gear. They can improve on what they're doing. They're
that just game, not... though, could easily have been 2-2 before it was 3-0. It could have been. And, if you know, I thought at that moment when they scored Cameron, what looked like a good guy, I thought, if they disallow this, they're off. They're going to walk off here.
Mm.
They, you know, when they did well to carry on.
The ref was quite terrible.
Oh, the ref was. But he had a very difficult afternoon. It wasn't easy for him.
England. The thing is, England is quite frustrating, isn't it? I mean, they pop the ball around well in midfield and they pass it very cleanly, but the final ball so often just isn't good enough. And you've got players in good position; they're just not finding the final ball.
Although there have been some lovely through balls and that have led to goals. I like the way Phil Neville.
I don't think there's enough of them, considering the possession they have and the way they, the amount of time they have the ball. I don't think they do enough with it at the moment.
I just think if you think about the last World Cup to this World Cup, about how much more people are watching it, how much more people are talking about it, how much people are discussing it. Not in patronising terms, but in terms of it being a sport.
I think it helps. It's here. It's in Europe. That's making a big difference.
I still think, imagine 4 years' time, four more years of progression, four more years of better refereeing, better play, better everything.
Oh, no. I think it's all heading up.
I think it's brilliant.
Just shy of 7 million people watched the game
yesterday. I really enjoyed it. It was incredible. I enjoyed it a lot more than I enjoyed England's performance in the under-21s.
God, I think it was a mad game.
They've been poor in this tournament, really. And Moose, a brilliant interview with Addie Boothroyd, I heard. Boothroyd, and he just basically...
Well, even Addie.
Addie.
Addie Boothroyd.
Addie Boothroyd. Whatever. He nailed him completely. He just basically said to him, why didn't you pick Foden? He was absolutely right. Why would you not pick your best player? Oh, he was in the red zone. I mean, he's hardly played this year.
Right. He's ready to play tonight, apparently.
Oh, yeah, he's fit now.
In the dead rubber.
Brilliant.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport, making a welcome return to the studio. Look at some of the stories you may have missed. And, of course, talk about one of his great loves, the new innovation of video assistant referees. His Palace fan and comedian and writer, Kevin Day. Good afternoon, Kevin.
Only just making a return to the studio.
Yeah, you've had some fun in our lifts, haven't you?
My God, I'm sure. It's like VAR. When they designed them, they probably thought this is quite a good idea. But it just doesn't work in practice.
When you've got 17 floors, of course.
Yeah. Then well, so you can't call a lift. You press a screen. And it tells you when the next lift might be going to your floor.
Yeah.
And then thank God Benitez has gone. So I had 10 minutes of grace while I got through security, the third lift, ran out of conversation with the runner who got sent down to talk to me. After lift three went by, we had nothing to say to each other. So it was a very awkward 10 minutes down there. And that's all Andy wants is that something every morning. Chris Evans obviously gets his own lift, I imagine. So surely there's an H&J lift.
Unfortunately, when we arrive and leave, it's not too bad. It's the peak times.
Yeah, you came at the lunchtime rush.
Oh, I see. I'll come a day earlier next time.
Well, it's a nice view.
It's a lovely view, I'm too flustered to see it at the moment, to be perfectly honest.
So, you've never been a fan of VAR, and I take everything that's gone on in the Women's World Cup as kind of, you feel vindicated.
I had a lovely moment. Last week, we're back writing League of Their Own, and in years gone by, myself and the producer have been known as affectionately as Grandad by the younger members of the team who've been saying VAR's coming, get used to it, change is coming. They've all changed their mind now.
Oh, really?
Because it's been. You can argue that the VAR and the coming off the line for goalkeepers is separate. Because once again, the goalkeeping thing is FIFA answering a question that no one asked them. Yeah, we've been asking them about racism, about why the World Cup's in Qatar, and they went, oh, good news, by the way, we've sorted out that goalkeeper coming off the line. It's like, what?
It's true.
I don't recall much of the last day of the season, because I was in the pub for 4 hours after it.
Right.
But one thing I do know is that nobody in the pub was saying, well, it's been a good season, isn't it?
They've got to clamp down on that.
It's really ruined this season for us. Really ruined. If one thing, that keeper's coming off the line. But we scored 10 penalties. I know, but one of them, the keeper was off his line a bit. If he'd moved to the left, he might have saved it. It's just ludicrous.
He is a brilliant penalty taker, though, isn't he?
Ludicrous, yeah. But the France-Nigeria one, I've never wanted a team to equalise more than I wanted Nigeria to equalise. Because it's fine. If the keeper comes off the line, saves the penalty, fine. But the Nigeria goalkeeper didn't come off the line. The French girl missed the penalty. And somehow they get another penalty and the Nigerian goalkeeper's booked. It's ludicrous. And the fact that...
If you miss it, that's
ridiculous. The fact that FIFA are panicking now, say, well, we won't do that for penalty shootouts. Well, don't do it for penalties then.
Yeah.
And also VAR, it's quite clear that referees are not using VAR to change their mind. It's quite clear they're being told, you've made a mistake, come and have a look, but you've made a mistake. And the France...
They don't want to go against...
Of course they don't.
Yeah. We are seeing some strong referees, though, prepared to stand there. Because the top Champions League referees are prepared to say, no, I'll stick by what I said. Yes, I was happy. But very few.
And certainly not in this tournament. And the one against... The penalty that France got in against Nigeria was about an hour into the game. VAR obviously thought, well, here we are in Paris. France haven't scored yet. We need to do something about this. Called over the referee, said...
Sounds like the Cameroon manager.
Well, yeah, called the referee over and said, nous avons une situation, obviously. have a look at the... We looked at it in the studio 12, 13 times. You still couldn't say that was a penalty, but the referee obviously gave a penalty. That's where it's gone wrong.
If they brought in... I presume you accept goal line technology because...
Reluctantly.
Yeah. But if they'd have brought in offside and goal line technology, is it inside the box or outside the box? Just line decisions. I don't think they would have had anywhere near the problems they've got now. You know, because
line decisions are causing problems. People are saying width of a bootlace should not be the difference between a goal and no goal. So
yesterday, Ellen White's goal would have been ruled out, and VAR worked well there because it was a goal. You know, she wasn't offside and she scored.
But the problem is, and we've already seen a problem. And this is the thing that worries me most about VAR, is that inevitably within 3-4 seasons, we will have NFL. Because there's already been two goals that are scored from corners that weren't corners. So that will happen to a big team in a big tournament, and somebody will say, well, we need to check corners then, because it's ludicrous. Somebody's scoring a goal, but that wasn't a corner. So they go, right, okay, we'll check. There's no logic. If you say it's for this, it's got to be for everything. It's got to be for the throwing that led to the corner that led to the goal, because otherwise there's no point having
it. That way lies madness.
Of course it does. That's why I've always been worried about it. And it's at least given us something to talk about, but it's given us the wrong things to talk about. Yeah. It's putting pressure on referees, and the referees in this tournament clearly haven't got as much experience as referees in other tournaments, and this is not the right place for them to get that experience. And again, we saw that ludicrous thing yesterday. And hats off to the Cameroon girls, I have to say, because what this tournament needs in years going forward is folklore. It needs its own legends. And in years to come, everybody will be saying, I'm going to watch the first Cameroon game and I hope there's a mistake. So commentators go, nobody wants to see this. Yes, they do.
Yeah.
It's like when somebody says there's a 20-man brawl and somebody says we don't want to see this, and people at home are going, I want to see the goalkeepers join in. And that's what it was with the Cameroon girls. But the referee clearly didn't use VAR because there should have been a penalty at the end. The girl should have been sent off. But clearly she thought, I don't want to instigate a riot. So that's going to happen in games. Yeah, that's going to happen at Anfield every now and again. A referee who wouldn't give a decision because he's scared of the cop is going to not give a decision because he's scared of the cop. So it's not taking that out of the game either.
Yeah. No, because it's down to the blokes. It's just a matter of opinion, and that's the problem with it. I thought, though, I agree with you 100%. I wrote down, this is memorable, like England-Argentina was in 66 when Ramsey called them animals. Unique games like this, because people always refer to it. It brings a focal. I don't see it as such a big problem.
It's good for the game in 4 years and 8 years, because this is the first tournament that every game's been shown on the BBC. So for all of us, it's our first World Cup, Women's World Cup, essentially. And it misses that. It misses the hand of God. It misses the... And my other big problem with the tournament is that I'm really enjoying it. My dad loves it because he thinks the football's more precise. Ash, the guy who runs my local off licence, is obviously a dear friend.
Yeah.
he thinks the same thing, and he's been telling some of the Polish lads off who are more, shall we say, unreconstructed than he is.
Yeah.
No one's having fun. The media coverage is so po-faced.
Oh, you think so? That's interesting.
It's because in every World Cup you see these teams that you don't see, and you want own goals, you want funny haircuts, you want people in the crowd. But no one's taking the mickey out of those because that implies criticism of women's football. Well, the funniest moment of the last World Cup we've had for anybody was when Batshuayi hit the ball against the post, it rebounded, hit him in the nuts.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know how to react if that happens in this game, because everyone has to talk to pundits.
Well, I think you'd be shocked literally
happened. It wouldn't. There'd be some sort of test afterwards. But everyone's bending over backwards to make it significant that no one's having fun, and the World Cup should be about fun.
And he just made that point, though. He just said, he talked about a moment that would make the own goals and the women's own goals and gaffes.
The Cameroon one.
Yeah. Is the women's football ready for an own goals and gaffes? No. Because
if
there would be
presented and written by women.
But you're laughing with it, or
Of course, as long as you're laughing with it, of course it is. That's when it becomes fun, because and it should be fun. The only people having Sue Smith, who for me is the best pundit out there. I think she's brilliant in male football and women's football. She's a brilliant pundit. Her double act with Jonathan Pearce is quietly becoming the funniest thing on TV, because Jonathan's an old mate of mine, and Jonathan tries so hard to say the right thing, he quite often says
he's
the wrong thing.
He's good on women's football.
He's great. It's a passionate
thing to straddle.
The two of them know each other so well. It is like listening to an old marriage. Yesterday, for example, when Jonathan was explaining
about the car,
that he was so moved about being at a war grave that he forgot how to get into a car.
Yeah,
and he went. There must have been a bar near the car. Then she's laughing her head off, and she says, "Yeah, wasn't it pretty?" So when there was a game recently when he said he was having a go at her because she did her research on the beach. And he stayed in the hotel, and she said, "There's no law that says you've got to do it." And about 2 minutes later, she jumped in a fact, and she went, "Yeah, I learnt that on the beach." Right, so at least they're having fun with it. Yeah, that's what you want. But with everybody else, it's so
everyone's worried about being critical.
Everyone's quitting on eggshells because they think that any criticism is going to be a criticism of women's football, and it simply isn't.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, you just dropped there, Andy. Andy was telling Kevin Day's with us in the studio, and Andy was telling us earlier on, we were talking about the spit incident from the England Cameroon game. And Andy said often when he remonstrates with people, he inadvertently spits as well. So there may be a moment. So
I'm 3 or 4 meters away from him.
Yeah,
it's, you can feel the spray.
Have you experienced that? You go ref. I mean, you
not to that. I mean, it's difficult, that one, because it looks, footballers for some reason, it's the thing they get most energised about, that and not shaking hands.
Yeah.
You can do anything to a footballer. If you don't shake hands at the end, or if you spit, they get really, really cross. I think it's so difficult to prove that she did that deliberately.
Yeah, I don't think
so. I didn't feel it was deliberate.
I didn't think it was deliberate. It's that's where, again, VAR, it's impossible to prove that it was deliberate.
Hmm.
But yes, there are some people who you instinctively adjust your talking distance to, or you suggest they get a guard on their microphone. But also, it's got to go through Andy's beard as well.
Of course,
so it picks up bits of debris on the way. Bits of boiled egg, bits of cornflake coming at you.
Nice. Andy has also had this thing going that anybody who basically praises women's football in the letters pages of the tabloids, but slags off men's football in the process, is banned from watching any men's football next year. And there's been some editorials about it, but it's a completely unenforceable law, really.
Idea though, isn't it? You've got to admit.
To be fair though, if we could only talk about things that we could enforce eventually, then none of our illogical things would ever.
It's just the reason I'm knee jerk.
You just knew it was going to come, and loads of people. And it's so pleasant to see them not falling over. It's so pleasant not to see them.
But what did we see over the weekend? We saw some spectacular s-housery. We saw elbows. We saw some inadvertent spitting.
At the end.
The reason I'm chuckling, by the way, is
terrible
that,
tackles.
Andy is a professional broadcaster and is articulating his views in a restrained way.
Yeah.
You and I, the three of us, saw each other at Andy Smart's birthday party recently. And Andy articulated the view, but in a rather more robust fashion.
Of course, he has to temper that.
It was literally the first thing he said to me as I was queuing up for my first free drink. He's like, anybody who says it's really game again.
We'd have to bleep it.
But you have got a point, because it is one of those things. Because it's really interesting how my dad likes it because he says he likes it because it reminds him of watching football in the 60s and the 70s because the football, it's the accents on passing and control rather than speed and power, which I think is interesting.
Yeah.
He uses the word precise, but I'm with you. I want to see a bit more physicality. And
weighted pass has been great.
The comparisons, you can't compare the two. And all these people, they're like cricket fans. You go, you know, it's, if only football could be a bit more polite. Rugby fans, the most sinister fan in the world is rugby players, 6'2" rugby players with their hands behind their back going, yes, sir, to the referee. But rugby fans go, that's what you want in football. It's, no, we'd stop going. And they say, well, the men have got to be a bit more like the women. Because it'd be 4 years. It's like this ludicrous argument about the size of the goals and the size of the pitches, because the goalkeeping in this tournament has been fantastic. The Japanese goalkeeper, the Chile goalkeeper, absolutely fantastic. Mm. In 4 years' time, the girls will be as big and strong as the men, and then it will be as physical and it will be as aggressive.
Mm. I think the jeopardy has increased. I mean, we saw. I mean, also the other thing they said, it's so great not to see the time wasting and the cheating. What do we see from the French when they were trying to see out the Brazil game last night? A kind of 50-50 tackle, somebody goes down, trying to see the game out. Because, you know,
you're bound to get this. All these girls who are playing all love football. They wouldn't be playing football if
they have a winning mentality.
They've all seen their teams waste time. Why wouldn't they do it?
Also, not only that, they've only been, most of the girls have only been professional for 3 or 4 years. Mm. So the more professional it gets, the more there is at stake, the more likely they are to do the things that happen in the
We'll see more cynicism in the game because there's so much riding on it. So many of those Cameroon players that we're talking about yesterday playing all over France. Mm. There's a lot more money in the game than there ever was before. It's lucrative, you know. So you want to get noticed, you want to do well, and you want your team to win.
I still don't know whether I really don't like the Cameroon manager or I really feel sorry for him because he was the fitness coach until January.
Right.
So he's clearly been lumbered with
he's
a job.
He's a big lad for a fitness
coach.
With a whole pair of his old trousers.
He's Moose's fitness coach.
But I mean, if he came in and said, you know, I looked at the old results of the test today and, you know, your shuttles weren't great. Look at you, fatty. Sort yourself out first, mate. I mean, it didn't strike me as the fitness coach.
Well, he also didn't seem to know what to do to Phil Neville when Phil Neville went to... He didn't look like he was used to being consoled by other men.
Mm.
And he looked like he didn't know whether to smile or punch him in the face. I thought Phil Neville was extraordinary afterwards in his lack of restraint, because it's exactly what he wanted at the time. And when he talked about...
He's been criticised, though, but I think unfairly.
I think it's very difficult. Somebody in any job... Well, not this one, obviously. I was about to say, when somebody shoves a microphone under you, it's difficult not to say something, but it's what we do for a living.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting that he referenced FIFA constantly saying to us, only talk about the good things in the games, which is, I didn't realise that was going on, but he said, I can't do that. And I thought it was brilliant of him to say I was ashamed of the way they played. I thought it was really interesting that he was honest enough to admit that his players didn't know what to do at half-time. They didn't know how to react. They felt they were in danger. I thought these were things that needed to be said.
Mm.
One of the Cameroon players said, at half-time, our coach said, don't worry, the referee wants England to win. I mean, that's not helpful of him to do that, because that clearly wasn't the case.
It's also interesting, because referees have been quick to say this week, in the situation where players are behaving that badly, the rules are quite simple. A FIFA official is supposed to come onto the pitch and talk to them. The referee is told to stay away. If you've got a captain and players refusing or possibly refusing to play on and making accusations, then the FIFA official should be out to sort that out. I thought it was very interesting that the Cameroons quite rightly were quick to say afterwards that there were no allegations of racism or corruption.
Mm.
I think it's possible that FIFA haven't done a particularly good job in explaining the new rules.
Yeah.
I think it's outrageous that they're experimenting with the goalkeeper rule in this tournament. It's too big a tournament to be using as an experiment place. And I think it's quite possible that FIFA maybe haven't taken it seriously enough to go to each team and actually explain the complexities of VAR. Because, frankly, watching it at home, we're not entirely sure the complexity. And it seems that UEFA and FIFA have different standards.
And even the Premier League.
And even the Premier League, exactly. The handball thing is going to be chaos for a while. So
I mean, in one sense, I've been an advocate of showing it to the crowd. But on the other hand, when it's on a big screen like that and they look up, and for example, their goal that was disallowed.
Well, we never saw
how can you see that from the pitch onto a big screen?
You'll never see
that. You've got to be looking. I mean, my eyes are bad, but you've got to be quite close to the
having
screen.
Having said that, if it's me watching it, I'm right every time. I'm always amazed that other people watching it should think that they've actually got it right, and clearly they haven't. But you're quite right. And if it was shown on the screen and that was an error by somebody in the game, and also because I think there are two or three occasions when teams clearly haven't been told that you can't ask the referee to refer something.
Yeah.
Because in several games, the referee's been asked to refer. We had that ludicrous bit in the game after the France-Nigeria game. I can't remember what it was, but the referee, who clearly didn't speak the same language as the goalkeeper, was having to mime what would happen. So she was the referee went and stood on the line, and then jumped in front of the line, and then waved an imaginary yellow card, which was clearly, and the goalkeeper was looking at her like she was absolutely mad. But again, it's one of those things where you in the bloops and gaffs thing, you want to be, you'd be talking about that for an hour after the game. But again, people would go, well, it implies criticism, but it's ludicrous. So keepers clearly didn't realise this was going on.
Yeah. Well, I'll ask you about Palace before you go, because, of course, it's the summer, so they're trying to sell your two best players.
It's very difficult to pick out two best players from that squad.
Well, let's go for Wan-Bissaka as one. I mean, how do you feel about what's going on? This 50 million, his head's been turned, he wasn't turning on for England under 21.
He didn't play well in the under 21.
He's a kid. It's a shame that the media immediately assume that a kid will have one bad game and it's because of his head's been turned.
Yeah, but his manager
said that's what the manager said, not the media.
Exactly. I know his manager, but I think it's interesting. I think Steve Parish, I was quite proud of Steve Parish win, because United's initial offer was like 35 million quid plus bonuses if we win this and we win that. And Steve Parish said, I'm not going to take that on trust.
Yeah.
So we'd rather have cash. I think most Palace fans, the start of the close season, a good window for us would be keeping those two. Inevitably, we'd lose one of them. Most Palace fans, if we're going to lose one, there are other right backs out there.
Yeah.
He's a brilliant player. He's only done it at Palace. I think it's a risk. 50 million quid for Wan-Bissaka would be fantastic. And then I think everyone's got it all worked out in the Palace pubs. Yeah, we'll get 50 million quid for Wan-Bissaka. We'll spend 20 million quid on Nathaniel Clyne, 30 million quid on a 40-goal-a-season striker. Let's book the Champions League places now, essentially. We can't... There's a Zaha thing would... You can't replace Wilf.
Yeah.
There are no other Wilf Zahas out there. And Steve Parish's logic is quite simple with, relegation would cost us 110 million quid overnight. We lose 110 million quid. So relegation is more likely without Wilf Zaha. So I'm going to ask for 110 million quid for anybody who wants to buy Wilf Zaha. It's a perfectly logical scenario from where I'm sitting.
Arsenal been mentioned today. It does seem fairly unlikely.
He's
just not going to go for that 50. He's worth much more than 55 million.
He's not only is he worth more than that. Liverpool and Man City have got better players than him, so he's not going to start every game, which is what he wants. Tottenham can't afford his wages. I don't think Arsenal can afford him full stop. Chelsea have got a transfer embargo.
I think Chelsea would have been interested as a replacement.
Talking about Batshuayi coming our way, I mean, he's a very different player to Hazard, and I don't think he'd start every game for Chelsea. Obviously, Man United, he wouldn't go back there in a month and Sundays after what happened last time. So that takes the top six out of the equation.
Yeah.
Why would he go to Everton, West Ham, who arguably are only just ahead of us?
If
you stand at the back of the Holmesdale, you can see his school. He was out of his depth in Manchester. I know he was much younger then. It doesn't strike me as a sort of young man who would flourish abroad. And also, basically, Roy Hodgson, this Q&A at the end of the season, talking to Roy Hodgson, he said the thing you have to remember about Wilf is that, we practice systems, we practice tactics, we practice this, that, and the other. And then the game kicks off and Wilf does what he wants, pretty much, because he's a good enough player to be able to do that. That wouldn't happen anywhere else.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yes, well, when we left you on Friday, I was expecting my fourth grandchild.
Oh, yeah, of course. I should have said earlier on, we never got... It's been a bit...
It's been a bit hectic. Yeah. Anyway.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. All well. Baby was born Friday night, which meant that we had to look after our granddaughter and take her to the sports day at the Japanese nursery.
You told us you should really... I mean, you don't just take her to a Japanese nursery for the sake of it.
That's where she
Your
goes.
Son's wife is Japanese.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry, I should have made that point, yes.
Yeah, so that's...
It would be a bit odd, wouldn't it?
Yeah, send them off to
that's
Japanese.
Why we just love Japanese.
Sink or swim.
I love sushi, that's why she goes there.
Sink or swim, because, she'll learn Japanese in the end. Yeah, okay, it'll be a bit difficult at first. But anyway, off to the Japanese nursery.
And it was fantastic. The sports day... It was a sort of basically a bog-standard school sports day, except they had an opening and closing ceremony.
What did I say on Friday? There'd be a lot of ceremonies.
There was two ceremonies, opening and closing.
What goes on in the opening ceremony on Japanese four-year-old kids' sports day?
Well, the headmaster made a speech. Yeah. The kids all lined up.
Was it good?
Up.
You listened to it?
The whole sports day was conducted in Japanese, okay. Which is not unsurprising. It's a Japanese nursery. And there was a lovely man there. He kept coming over. Every time they made an announcement, he kept running over and telling me what was going on. Otherwise, right. I wouldn't have known, let's be honest.
Okay.
Because I had to take part in one of the...
Is it the same tradition? Is it three-legged race, egg and
spoon?
Well,
no, there was one... for their age group, there was one dads and kids thing, and obviously I was... granddad and thing, and it was it involved just picking balls up and putting them in a box.
That's basically clearing up, isn't it? Were you involved in a kind of clearing up operation? You sure that was one of the games?
It was tug of war. That was good.
Look at that old boy just clearing up. I mean, they say that about Japanese fans. They kind of clear up after themselves.
Oh yeah,
games.
Everything was just like. So like that, yeah. No question about it.
But did you win this game? You did.
Well, it's hard to say, really.
See the point of it.
I don't actually even know.
It was basically. Did they give you a broom at any point?
No.
Okay.
They basically tipped a load of balls out onto the grass.
Yeah.
There was quite a high sort of structure that you had to throw the balls into. The kids went first, and then you, as a joint effort, went.
Did you? Any of the kids beat you?
Or? No. I think I was quite.
Were you
I think
quite competitive?
Right. No, I wasn't at all competitive. I didn't think that would go down at all well. but my son had been a bit competitive because he decided to show his daughter films on YouTube of Usain Bolt, of an effort to persuade her that it's a good idea to run as fast as you can in these races because she doesn't know. Anyway, they lined up for the sprint race, and she came in a very valiant last, I have to say, in the family tradition.
So the Bolt inspirational video.
They
didn't
failed.
Really
it didn't work, I'm afraid. Okay. But yeah.
Was that why? Was she sort of skipping? Was she just not that interested?
She seemed not that bothered about it. Really, just gently. Yeah, gently strolling along behind the field. Fair enough.
Was there any pushy parents? Was there any of that?
Honestly, the people were so nice.
Yeah.
At one point, my granddaughter said, I'm a bit hungry. And, of course, we hadn't brought any food.
You're out of practice.
I only had a Kit Kat in the car. Not ideal, is it, really? And
she'd have a Kit Kat, wouldn't she?
Well, it wouldn't be an ideal. This other mum came rushing over with a Tupperware thing of Japanese snacks.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Impressed.
Well, it's brilliant. You're going to go back next year?
Well, I think
defend
I might.
Defend your record? That'd be great. And what about the closing ceremony? What
the
goes
closing
on there?
Ceremony was involved some dancing with drums and that sort of, you know, quite exciting. And then...
They brought drummers in for it.
No, the kids did it.
Oh, the kids did it, okay.
And then there was the medals were presented. Everybody got a medal.
Did you get a medal?
I didn't get a medal. No, the children got a medal.
Next year.
And then we sort of all marched off and that was it.
What did Well make of her medal? I mean, did she say to your granddad, I came last as I skipped?
No, she's not.
Why are they giving me a medal?
No. Okay. She just quite liked the idea. She's a bit young. She's only 3.5.
She's going to start questioning it too much.
She didn't over-question it.
And beat herself up, does she really?
Yeah. Anyway, moving away from that, it's the great tennis player Betty Stover's birthday today.
Yeah, yeah. She never married Linvoy Primus, did she?
Yeah.
I always wanted that.
Or your other one, Bernie Slavin.
I don't think slaving over a hot stover is that's not really.
It's always my favourite.
That's the picture caption, but I'm not sure the picture would be suitable for a family audience.
Probably not.
But Linvoy, that would have been, and she insisted on keeping both names. That would have been fantastic.
It would have been, really. Yeah. Anyway, well done to
she'd
her.
She just spite us by calling herself Stove Primus, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
She's
74, believe it or not.
That's amazing.
Getting on a bit. And I'm always, talking of tennis, I'm always fascinated when sports stars invoke basically God as a sort of a help to them. I always think, well, you know, fair enough if that's what you believe in. But this one from Pat Cash was incredible yesterday. Wimbledon champion Pat Cash claims God sent him money when he was left almost penniless after divorcing his wife.
Wow.
He said, he told the Mail on Sunday that money miracles have happened 20 times in his lifetime. Whenever I need money, God just sends some. And you think... I'm sure the good Lord's got a lot better things to do with his life than worry about Pat Cash's finances, but there you go. Maybe he hasn't. It struck me as a bit of a strange one. But,
money would just turn up in hell, just lying about the house or something.
He said, Cash credits his faith with helping him through the darkest times in his life.
Clues in the name, isn't it?
Yeah. He said, I remember one day looking up to I was looking up to the sky and going, God, will you please take over all my finances?
Yeah.
Well, I say something similar, but I'm not actually invoking the heavenly
maybe somebody
inspiration.
Just dropped their wallet out the window.
Within hours, a friend of mine called and asked me to play a tennis event which paid several thousand pounds. Wow. And the highest fee I'd ever earned for a set of doubles. So there you go. Well, fine.
He does move in mysterious ways, clearly, to improve Pat Cash's finances.
And the public are to get a say on the possible change of name for Spurs' new stadium. Hmm. Public will have a say on plans to rename a railway station. It's always a bad idea. It's going to be called Stationy McSpurs Face.
Don't ask the great British public to come up with a name. They want to change it from White Hart Lane Station to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Tottenham Hotspur Station.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I think leave well alone. It's been White Hart Lane for... I still think of it as White Hart Lane. I don't care what anyone's going to call it. When I go there, I'm going to White Hart Lane.
Okay.
Because that's where it is, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, well, I'm with you on that all the way. Yeah. I mean,
What was the point of building this fabulous stadium in the same place and then calling it something else? I can't see the point
of difference, of course, which all football clubs love, and maybe it makes it easier then to sell it to a sponsor for naming rights. Mm. People aren't wedded to the old name.
Well, I suppose so. Maybe that's true. And fighting in the cheap seats at Royal Ascot, did you see that on the weekend?
Yeah, I did see that.
I mean, honestly, is it always the same blokes? They always look the same. Yeah. They're young, they're white, they've got tight suits on, short back and sides, and court hair gel. And it's just, it's quite depressing that this, you know, that this is, it's always the same type.
What do you want them to look like then? I mean,
well, I don't know. You know, just be good if they didn't do it in the first place, really.
It certainly would be. The Queen didn't get involved. She was watching the racing. There wasn't a cry of stand from the royal box.
She didn't get involved.
That's very true.
Good question.
Sorry.
Finally, last one. Good question on the health pages yesterday in one of the Sunday papers. Hmm. Why can't I hear myself snore, but I can hear my partner? You think, you're asleep? Brilliant, isn't it? Well done.
That'll cost you 10 guineas.
Thanks.
Sylvester Stallone apparently left people reeling after charging £849 for a picture.
Really?
He was in Manchester, London and Birmingham for a meet and greet, the infamous meet and greet, and promoting his final Rambo film, Last Blood.
It's a strange amount, 849.
It's quite specific.
It's not £849.99.
It's not, no. It was a black tie dinner, you went along, an evening with Sylvester Stallone, it was billed as.
Yeah.
And
he can't need the money, surely.
£125 a ticket. I suppose it costs a lot to get him over, but if he was promoting the film, he just thought, yeah, I'd get a bit of gravy when I'm in the country.
You'd have a professional photo.
unless
things have gone, you know, unless he needs a bit of divine intervention with his finances like Pat Cash, surely he doesn't need this money.
But it said, excuse me, £125 for the ticket for the event, right?
Yeah.
But having a professional photo taken with the star costs an extra £495 to £849. So that's quite a span, isn't it? So for £495, he'll stand next to you looking miserable.
Yeah.
For £550, he'll kind of crack half a smile. For £600, he'll beam.
Oh, yeah.
For £750, he'll put an arm around you.
Yeah.
And for £849, he'd give you a kind of kiss
on the
cheek.
Well, he'd make out like you're really good mates.
Like you can turn around and say, oh, so I've known him for years. It's just me and him. I went out with him recently. So, really? It's one bloke said, it's a shame. You need to sell a kidney to go. It's a bit of a strange phrase. But they did make the point that people who do it, an experience with, they're called, said it is very costly to bring Sly over. But surely he was here anyway, promoting his film, wasn't he?
Yeah. They just thought, perhaps.
He does need gravy, clearly.
Well, and also, I mean, he's bound to go first class, isn't he? He's not coming in cattle class, is he, Sly?
So. Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Don't ask me to leave it out or turn it up.
Here we go then. Five questions based on last week's shows. Can Andy remember any of the answers? On Friday, we were joined, Andy, by a friend of Martin Kellner's, comedian, Leeds fan. What was his name? That's the easy one.
It should be an easy one, shouldn't it?
Get you in the mood.
Yeah. Come on. It's like... it's not Nick, is it? It's not Nick.
It's not Vic.
It's not Nick.
You haven't got very far to go, really. It's not Dick.
Mike.
You've left Mick.
Mike.
Oh, yeah.
It's Mick.
Mick what?
Oh, Mick.
Or Shaughnessy with a ball.
No, Mick. God. It's like...
Hucknall?
Mkhitaryan. Mick.
Mick.
Oh, I can't remember. It's so annoying.
Okay, it was Mick Artistic.
Oh,
well,
Mick
that
Artistic.
Worked well. Shall I carry on?
Yeah,
okay.
Michael Arteta.
You humiliate him.
You spoke to auctioneer Rupert Chambers on Thursday, wasn't he? What was he putting under the hammer?
completely
You're gone
forgotten.
Now, haven't you?
I
You're
am.
Gone, yeah. Dennis Lilly's aluminium bat.
Oh, yeah, the
bat.
Aluminium bat. That's
you spoke
right, yeah.
to Mark Chapman, not that one. World Crazy Golf Champion. How many crazy golf majors had he won?
18.
Is that right? Where's the answer?
Yeah,
it was right.
Was right.
Okay, Jacob Hawley, comedian Arsenal fan, join us. He'd written a new Edinburgh show named after a Greek holiday destination. What was it called?
Mykonos.
No, Falaraki.
Oh, yeah.
And finally, we spoke to Chippy Sharn, who was the chairman and manager of which football team that had a documentary on that night?
Not Dulwich FC, no. Punjabi FC.
A Punjab United, but I would have given you that, Andy, had it come to it, but it didn't matter in the end. Just very quickly, that's it. We're back tomorrow, aren't we, Andy? We're back tomorrow from one. Thank you very much for that. Mick, is it Mick? Is it Nick? Is it Dick? Is it Vic? And then you say Mike. I can't work that out.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. So is it Vic? Is it Nick? Is it Dick? And then I said, there's one left. You went, Mike. How did that work?
It's ridiculous.
Mick Artistic. Yeah.
Yes. There we are. Grim, wasn't it, by me?
No,
not
a bit grim by you.
Yeah, I
enjoyed
Mick.
It
wasn't grim, I meant
grim
me.
By you. I know that. I know what you meant. Okay, we'll catch up with you tomorrow from one. Look at the producer. Have we got anybody in tomorrow that I should know about? No, apparently not. It's free. It's going to be free-form jazz. So we're going to play. It's Jazz Odyssey. We've got nothing. We'll see you tomorrow from one.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.